Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and joining me as always...
It's Ben Vanell here, Tommy. No shtick this week, I've had a busy day. Joining us, the third member of the show...
Don't worry, it's Adam Knox here, and I'll pick up the slack... Ben Vanell.
Pick up your copy of The Slap and have a big old read of that.
Little
kid getting abused at a barbecue, and then let us know. Let us know what shit you've got planned for.
Someone re-edit that slap video, put Knox's head on everyone's face.
I can't believe.
Send that in. We'll go fucking viral.
I can't believe that I've said slightly the wrong word.
You stupid cunt. You said slap.
Well, I meant to say slack, and then I was going to say Ben Vanell, more like Pen Vanell, because you were holding a pen.
Yep.
Oh, so okay. I see
everyone
what's
missed
happening.
Out on that fucking gem.
Yeah, that's a shame. Yep. That's a real shame. Yep. That got consigned to the slap heap, as I call it. Yep.
You mean the scrap heap, idiot? You said slap instead of scrap, you dumbass. You fuckwit.
Fuck yes. We're all in fine form today, aren't we, boys? We're having a beer.
We should say for the listeners, I think this is now the second week of us having migrated from Zoom to Google Meetings. And boy, oh boy, thank God it took us so long to work out that there is a superior platform out there. Because Zoom, sayonara, and suck our dicks. You're laggy and you're shit.
Yep.
Google Meetings is where it's at.
Yes.
It's nice and quick, and also I don't think you can do virtual backgrounds or anything, but at this point of the lockdown, that is a positive boon. I'm sick of seeing virtual backgrounds. I'm sick of thinking about them or talking about them. And yes, I'm a hypocrite for talking about them, but I mispronounced another word. I meant to say, chicken or something.
Yes, chicken, yeah.
That's what I'm cooking
after this. I believe what Google Meetings does.
That's what I was thinking about it. It's in the back of my head because I know I have some chicken in the fridge that I have to cook tonight.
Did we ever talk about this on the podcast that a little while ago now, just after we'd done the pod, Ben messaged us in our group chat that he had just cooked chicken for dinner and then felt like a little ice cream treat and got on Uber Eats to order an ice cream. And then you sent us a photo and you said, and this is what turned up. And it was a box of fried chicken.
Yeah.
Fucked your order and sent you chicken immediately after you had just eaten some chicken.
Yeah, they sent me half a fried chicken. It was fucking heaps of chicken.
And then we immediately said, dude, this guy loves chicken and wouldn't stop talking about how much you like chicken. And I could see you were doing the thing where you were playing along with it to make it stop rather than say it was annoying and then we'd definitely keep going. But I think me and Tommy both picked up on that because we did not stop at all. And you were like,
it
you
comes
got
up
me.
Occasionally
I love chicken.
As well.
Joke's over. I love chicken. Yeah. You found out. And then we were like, he admitted it.
There was a lot of why did Ben cross the road to get to the chicken? That's already over there as well because he fucking loves the stuff.
Yeah,
we really did have a great time making memes and shit, weren't we?
We had I remember doing the guy looking over his shoulder at the other girl, and it was like the girl he was walking with was literally anything, and then he was looking at chicken, and the guy was Ben. God, I love making specific memes.
Oh, we had a great night of meme making the other night in our group chat.
We did. What a night that was. You know what? It was just after we'd done this, I think, because I remember Adam saying, We wrapped up and then you were like, yeah, I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to try and get an early night. Just going to have a dinner and then have an early night. And then it was 2 a.m. and we were in a group chat sharing memes about world disasters. And that soundbite popped into my head. I'm like, this guy said he was going to bed at about 8 p.m. and now here he is 6 hours later giving the meme button a very heavy workout.
Oh. It was fun. Dude, I miss real life, though. I'm sick of how my brain's working currently. I'm sick of memes. If I never see another meme, then boy howdy, it's probably because the world has ended and the internet and all the infrastructure around it has fallen apart. But I'll also be kind of glad of that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway. I agree. Video games, too. They won't work anymore if all the electricity goes off. Another positive.
So not much. So no news this week, really. We've been blessed. We've been blessed the last 2 or 3 weeks. Lots of stuff coming down the news wire. But you know, a trickle of new releases in the last week or so. Nothing major. But definitely a few things that have been keeping us all busy.
Major sounds like the name of a character from like a bad British sketch. You know what I mean? Where he's like, I'm Major. Well, I know your rank, but tell me your name. Major. Yes, I know.
Yeah. Or is it, it's almost like a Little Britain character. Major, the fat Major, you know?
I guess so. There's Major and Major Minor, who's a little kid who screams at people.
Right.
And here we go.
What are we doing? This is all shit we should have gotten out of our systems before we hit record.
Yeah, it's weird. For the first time ever, we're dilly-dallying on the subject of video games on this podcast. But Adam, why don't you kick us off with a game that you've been playing that I'm interested to hear a bit more about, because I watched a bit of gameplay footage of this.
Me too.
And it looks kind of interesting. I cannot for the life of me remember the fucking name of it, and I doubt that you can either. I think you've got it written down there in front of you.
Among Us, is that what you're talking about? No, 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim is what I assume you're talking about. Or it might be Aegis. I actually don't remember.
I think it's Aegis, right? Isn't it like a... I don't know. Yeah. But I watched footage of this as well yesterday when I was browsing, I think, like the PSN store.
Yeah.
And I could not make hide nor hair of how this game is played.
Right. So this is a Japanese... It's by Vanillaware, who they made like Grim Grimoire and Muramasa the Demon Blade. And other ones of similar sort of names. Beautiful hand-drawn, hand-painted looking visuals in all these games. And so this one originally started on the Vita development of it, which is how long it's been in fucking development for. And at some point that version was cancelled for obvious reasons and moved over to the PS4. So it does look a little bit like it was designed for like a handheld system and they were like, oh, fuck, and blew it up. But it still looks pretty nice. It's like a very cool hand-drawn, painted-looking kind of anime style. It's a Japanese game about... Now, stop me if this is too novel of a concept for you to wrap your heads around as I start to explain this.
Okay, all right.
High school students in Japan.
Stop.
Okay. What aren't you understanding so far?
So what's a high school? Is it like up on a high, is it tall in a building? Are they on, they smoking the hashish? Like what is
kids all blazing it up? Yeah.
It's nothing to do with either geography or the wacky backy, as you always call it every day when you turn your chair backwards and start talking to deans. It's a high school is the second phase of schooling. When you're about 12 or 13, you go to high school, which is sort of the midpoint between primary school, which is, you know, basic letters and numbers, that sort of thing, and before university, the high concept show. Stuff. High school is where horses go, and high school is, in Japan especially, it's where people can really draw you wearing a skirt. That's that's a lot of what the interpretation of it seems to be in this game. Within the first five, it's high school students... Fighting giant robots to aliens. It's one of the ones like Evangelion, though, where it's doing that setting because it is having sort of a meta commentary on that genre at the same time.
What is the one, what are the original non-meta commentary ones of that? Because it seems like a lot of this stuff, even shows like Buffy, which is something that I think about, you know, in terms of like high school kids taking on a greater power than them and Persona, obviously. Mm. What are the OG ones of this? Is like, is Gundam Wing just normal high school kids in mechs? Like what is it from?
I think that like Gundam power and maybe Rangers? Macross and that shit, but it, like a lot of it is from like the 60s and the 70s, and it was films in Japan that really aren't in the cultural zeitgeist anymore. So I can't comment to that.
Yeah, Power Rangers is a good shout, Tommy. Is it Ultraman? Is that another one of those like...
Yeah.
So,
but you're right. That is interesting that the meta commentary of those tropes has now become the default. Like that is now more widely known, and the actual thing that those were based off has kind of faded into obscurity a little bit.
And that meta commentary also almost doesn't work because like Evangelion is such a widely known thing because it had really cool robot designs that right. looked good as figurines, you know, which is the thing it was kind of not railing against, but riffing off of. So anyway, this is a similar-ish thing. It's not quite as, you know, meta as that gets. But anyway, it's like, high school students, giant robots fighting an enemy force. And you play multiple of these students in little sections as you go through with a very, not sure what's going on. Maybe time travel, maybe amnesia. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's obviously something happening under the surface to this world. It's not very straightforward. And
what country did you say this game originates from again?
I think you know. And they...
you say there's something going on with under the surface with high school students. Maybe if you just popped a little camera under the surface, you could see...
That's a ridiculous thing to say. You put a mirror on your shoe and then...
Ah, yes, of course.
There's no evidence. But anyway, it is a little like that too. Like within the first 5 minutes of this game... A high school girl is teleported inside a giant robot and is like, where'd my clothes go? So I do find that stuff a bit off-putting. And I don't think that's wrong of me.
I only saw Evangelion for the first time all the way through a few years ago. And that is like, you're right, Nox, like it blurs the line between commentary and the thing because it's like, it really sexualizes teenage kids in that show as well.
And sexualizing children is not where you want to have a line blurred. I'll tell you that much. So it does feel a little... I'm glad I live alone when I'm playing this, to be honest.
Yeah,
so
but no one can see what this, I'm doing. You say this, but Adam... I got a notification last night that you got a trophy on this game for having zoomed in and rewound that scene 100 times over.
So, but it's not focusing on that stuff too much, and maybe that, I don't know. I don't want to give it too much of a benefit of the doubt with that shit because it is just like... straight up like, don't do this, it's point there's nothing even to say about it at this point, so but then it's like an adventure game and a strategy game. Those are the two halves of it. You're walking around talking to people, you get little memories of people that you can go and analyze yourself in your own head or use. They're kind of like the keywords in a Monkey Island or something where you'll be able to then use them to interact and ask other people about. And that's a pretty straightforward kind of 2D adventure game type of... There's those segments where the story gets driven forward. And then there's this isometric strategy game where you're in the giant robots and you've got different abilities and whatever to fight these enemy forces. The strategy thing is like fun enough and it isn't... I don't like dread it, but it's... relatively simple if you've played any of those sorts of things before. Like if you've it is not at sort of an XCOM-ish level of like intricate and like what do I do next, I'm not sure. It's relatively easy to get through, but that's fine because the driving force of this is the story, which I am intrigued by. I haven't gotten too far into it yet, but there's enough little hooks in it that I do want to see what's going on.
Cool.
So
yeah,
I reckon if you're not into the style, it'll be off-putting enough because it's that much... Like, you go to the high school nurse, again, within the first, like, maybe 15 minutes, and she's just got these huge tits. And they've gone and they've animated them and they've made her cross-armed, so she's, like, pushing them out. And it's just what... She's in it, like...
How's the jiggle physics on it?
Terrible. That's what I'm complaining about.
Yeah.
No, like they're there and it's a 2D game with hand painted graphics where they've bothered to have them slosh around. Like it's fucking real crook in a lot of ways. And yeah. I feel almost
like a waterbed, Tommy. Like a waterbed. That's what that word evokes.
Yeah.
It's sloshing around.
Like I have this weird thing in my head of like, is it culturally insensitive to say that this is crook? And then there's another part of my head that's like, no, this their culture is wrong in this aspect. That is not the way to be.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't know. It made me feel uncomfortable, genuinely. I'm not being a fucking, you know, fuck it, here comes the lefty police. And they're like, okay. Do I hate myself? Am I a bastard? I don't want to be a lefty and the police. But like... It made me feel legitimately uncomfortable within the first opening moments of the game, how they were sexualizing these characters in it. So whatever, maybe that maybe that comes good at some point, if you know what I mean. Like as in, maybe there's some fucking thing they'll have to make about it, but I fucking doubt it. Because, like,
I doubt it, yeah.
That always gets said when people question this stuff. And he's like, you know, Kojima is like, oh, quiet will be understandable. That's like, oh, it's because some dumbass acid reason or something. She breathes through her skin.
She breathes through her skin, yeah.
So
yeah, the reason is I've invented a reason because I want to perv on a woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not ridiculous because her tits are where the lasers come from. Okay, how would you have written it?
That keeps shooting through the clothes, so you got to have no clothes over the top.
You wanted to wear a bulletproof vest and have it bounce back and hit her in her own tits. Huh, some feminist you are. So that bit put me off. But
if we're going to be expected to crunch and work long hours and not see our families to work on this game, there may as well be something on the screen that's a little bit titillating to help get us through the long, lonely nights. That's my justification for why I'm rendering these gigantic breasts.
I mean, that is literally what Yoko Taro, who did Nier Automata, said. Someone asked him the same question that always gets asked when there's like a too sexy character in a game, and like. 2B, the android in that, was like, you know, wearing fucking lingerie and she's a robot android soldier. And he was like, yeah, I thought she looked hot in it. Which, like, I don't know. That even, I'm more like, yeah, okay, man.
Yeah.
She does.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a whole bunch of people on porn sites who are getting away with a whole career because they've dressed up like her, so go for it.
Sure. Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
Twitch.tv/AdamKnox real and official is where you can see more of that. No, they wouldn't allow it on Twitch. but so yeah, I want to play it more and I want to find out where the story goes. But at this point, I am intrigued, but I am relatively early on, like 1 or 2 hours.
It looks cool. I wouldn't mind a cool new strategy game to play. The one thing that I kind of thought when I was looking at the footage of it was that, yeah, I love the look of the hand-painted and the aesthetic of the story bits, but then the bits that I saw of the strategy kind of looked a bit bland by comparison.
The visuals in those sections certainly aren't doing too much, but it's like it's a fun enough tactics kind of game, you know.
Right.
But the majority of it at this point does seem to be that the story-focused adventure stuff. Like, there's a lot of long conversations and that sort of thing. And the voice acting, the English voice acting is what I have on, is pretty good. So I definitely think I'll keep going with it. I just didn't have much time to put into it before this. But, you know, as much as I am, like I've reiterated 100,000 times now, have found little aspects of it a little bit skeevy in the way that this sort of stuff tends to be. There's been a lot of good response to the story, and so far it is intriguing.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
Well,
thanks, man.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Hey, I'm saying that I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
I've been playing a game.
I've been playing
a game this week from just across the pond, which I think is the term that Japanese and Chinese people use for where they are in relation to each other.
Yeah,
we could just cross the pond.
We could jam that Westernism onto them.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've been playing a Chinese game called Genshin Impact. It's made by a developer called MiHoYo, who apparently have done mostly mobile games up until this point, and mostly like gacha games, I think, from what I can tell.
Money sinks.
But Yeah, exactly. This is a game I think we all probably first became aware of because it looks like a direct rip-off of the style of Breath of the Wild. Mm-hmm. This is the beautiful, cel-shaded, actually like hand-drawn anime-style characters with, yeah, like beautiful open green rolling hills and shit. But this game, so basically the setup is... it's actually a very nicely directed, cool cutscene. A lot of the cutscenes in this game are very impressively done. They have like good camera work and interesting directing. But you're like a brother and sister flying through the cosmos. Apparently you're like interdimensional travelers. You get in a fight with a sorceress. One of the siblings, and you choose which one, the brother or the sister, gets taken away. And you play as the other one.
Right.
And you sort of like land on this world. And it's a anime style fantasy world where you're you know, the chosen one, I guess, and you land in a little zone and you get a little sort of helper thing, sort of like in the first Ni No Kuni. It's like a little sort of creature woman girl thing who's your tutorial, and it's basically an action RPG. So you got your basic sort of circle to melee attack, some other little moves and special attacks, and you're going around sort of Skyrim style. You're like, oh, there's a mission, there's a quest over here to get you involved in the world, and there's a quest over here to get you involved in the world. Mm. But the whole overarching thing is just like, you're here to help. Something's going on and you're here to help. But yeah, the gacha thing comes in when you basically build out your party of four by acquiring new characters or weapons by spending in-game currency on these like loot box, you know, probability things. You get a heap of that shit when you start the game, though.
And so it's not free, like, right? This game is free to start playing, yeah?
It is a free-to-play game, okay. Yes. And yeah, I assume you can spend real money on all of this stuff, the in-game currency. But it seems pretty easy to get as you play. And they give you a fuck ton at the start. So like, I had a bunch of extra characters and a bunch of extra weapons and shit at the start. I didn't feel like I was having to pay anything for it. And I've read it, or I watched a YouTube review yesterday who was like, you know, 4 or 5 hours in, and they were like, I haven't even come close to needing to spend money. So I from what I can tell, it's a pretty light touch with that stuff. Mm. It seems aimed at like, you know, the actual whales who want to be, you know, crazy high level, you know, 99 bullshit. But yeah, so you amass this party. Each character has a different elemental focus, and the combat is basically that. It's like, well, this enemy has an element, this character has an element. It's sort of like Ghost of Tsushima, how you would change stances for certain enemies. Mm-hmm. So you flip around between the characters in your party, but it's more fun than that because they have like fun different attacks and stuff. Like they'll also have, you know, like a melee attack, or this one will have a bow, or this one will have like a giant club and shit like that. So it's huge variety in the party. And yeah, it's not just like a set party of characters who are in the story. It's like, you know, infinite, randomly generated, or, you know, whatever characters right. You purchase from these packs. Visually, it's fucking stunning. Like, honestly, it's like Breath of the Wild if that was built to run on a PS4. Like, it looks incredible. It's not just like the visual style either. It's the interfaces, the particle effects, the magic, the like, you know, you're the version of like Sonic standing still and tapping his foot on the ground when you're just like idling. Mm. Is like these beautiful little spells will come up, or you like start talking to your little companion friend. It's crazy. Like, it's a really good game. I'm waiting for like the catch of like, this is free to play and it's, you know, you can pay to win. But I've been playing it nonstop since yesterday. I would be like 4, 5, 6 hours in, and like, it's really good. I'm very, very surprised at how good it is.
Just so, you've been playing it nonstop since yesterday, and you say you've played 5 or 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll find, Mr. Vanell, if it pleases the court, that there are in fact 24 hours in a day.
So well, you're I have a job.
You played it.
So
convenient. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, he now has a job.
I've worked there for 3.5 years.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, his story is changing all the time.
Oh no.
I think you can clearly see that here? This what? Man committed the murder. it does sound, so my brother is playing this too, and I was talking to him about it, and he's saying similar stuff to you where like he kind of looked into it, and it really seems like you don't have to pay the money until you do hit those. Like, there's some end game kind of dungeon
right.
raidy type content that it will be for. But right. it does seem like you can pretty much get through the bits that you would normally get through the average person with an average game
mm-hmm.
without engaging with that stuff pretty much.
Absolutely. And I guess the other aspect to this game is that it is a multiplayer game. It is like a free-to-play, one of those big MMORPG, more of an RPG than a lot of the MMO ones that have been happening recently. But it starts like the first... however many hours, 15 hours or so, is a single player experience. You level up your party really gradually. There's genuine quests. You only interact with NPCs.
Is there like good dialogue and story stuff going on? Like, are you enjoying that aspect?
The story is pretty meh. Like, it's sort of a more mystical, crazy interdimensional version of the Skyrim story of just like the land is under attack from forces, maybe a creature, and you have a special thing, so you're the one who can lead the way. But the dialogue's good and the voice acting is great. Like, again, yeah, I was very surprised at a game that is actually, it's, you can play it on like iOS, PlayStation, PC. And it's coming to Switch. I think Xbox is the one thing it's not on.
Right.
But it's like this crazily multi-platform game that, yeah, seems to have really good voice acting, mm-hmm. pretty good dialogue. The interfaces and the UIs and all that shit are sort of a mix of Breath of the Wild's, like super subtle ones, and Fire Emblem Three Houses, sort of like slightly medieval, slightly anime, sort of hand-drawn-y sort of stuff.
Right. Are you like... Right. I'm not sure if my microphone's working now. Oh, wait, I turned down my headphones. Never mind. Are you exploring in a manner similar to Breath of the Wild where you feel like you're just kind of going off in whatever direction and there's something there for you?
Yes, that is crazily as well, something that's legitimately in this game. It does have a few of the sort of... Oh, I guess it's similar to Breath of the Wild as well. It has sort of like teleportation shrines so you can fast right. travel around. And there's probably... a lot more of those than there were the towers in Breath of the Wild, but it's not an Assassin's Creed.
You could travel to the shrines too, to tell.
Oh, you're right, and the towns, right?
Yeah.
Oh no, it was just
there was a shrine at every town. Yeah.
I think most of them.
So I guess but it doesn't have. It's not like you get 17 quests in town, and then there's a bunch of quest markers, and there's a bunch of icons that pop up on the map of like go here, go here, go here. It's more like you'll be walking around, and you'll come across this like glowing fairy thing, and your little companion will be like, "Oh, if you collect these, you can upgrade this." But some of them, you got to like follow them, and so they like fly up this tree, and they fly up a hill, and you're like following. And eventually they lead you to like a chest or something like that. But like, yeah, none of that's marked on the map. You're not sort of just going out on these missions. You are naturally letting the lay of the land guide you around.
Cool.
The enemies are also basically the same as Breath of the Wild. They're like, template knockoffs. But it's like, yeah, again, sort of like Breath of the Wild. You walk around, there's like a little squirrel going through the grass, there's a fox over there, you pick up a bunch of stuff like vegetables and fruits to cook, you go to a campfire, you cook them. There's actually a mini game with the cooking, which made it a little more engaging to me than Breath of the Wild. It's like a timer, like press the button now and it cooks a perfect meal sort of thing. But again, even that, it's like you're combining these fruits that you pick off the trees and find on the ground and stuff. I don't really have anything bad to say about it so far, except just the nagging thing in the back of my head of like, at what point will it start to gate my progress so that I have to pay for it?
It does seem like a very strange kind of game to have those things about it because, everything else that I've seen about this made me think it looked great and I was really interested. And then seeing that it's an MMO and that it's got loot crate stuff in it and that it's free to play, which is such shorthand for... you're going to get fucked financially at some point, kind of turned me off it and made me go, oh, it's a shame. Like it looks like it's up my alley, but it's just the sort of game I don't usually gel with. But it sounds like there's basically a essentially single player campaign for like, 15 hours of it? And then you're out in the open against other people. So that's probably where it's expecting you to spend the money, right? If you're running around.
Yeah, I suspect so. Or if not against other people, more like the World of Warcraft thing where you would go on raids, like you would team up to take on these giant bosses and stuff like that.
I think that's my understanding of what starts to happen at some point.
Right. But yeah, like I said, I've put a bunch of time into it, and for a free-to-play game, I always bounce off these. I give them a shot, and then I just never continue playing them. It happened with all of the Battle Royale games. It happened with a few of the other, like Neverwinter Nights. Like, there's a few RPG-style ones as well that are free, and I just bounced off them immediately. But yeah, this one has got me, and even if I only play it for like 15 hours... Because I think it's like you rank up each of your characters, and then you as a party, you know, or an account slowly rank up as well.
Yeah.
You hit like a certain point, other bits of the world unlock, and you sort of go off into the multiplayer stuff. If I get up to there and I've had a good time and I drop out there, what have I lost? Nothing.
Right,
like
exactly.
I didn't pay anything for it.
Just precious time. So
sure,
that sounds kind of cool. Like I'm interested to give that a try too. And Free to give it a go.
Mm.
Like you say, exactly. If you get 20 hours of Breath of the Wild-ish for nothing, not bad.
Yeah. I'm curious to see if anyone in our listenership, or if you guys go in on it in the future, what other people think. Because I feel, I'm like, is this as good as I think it is? Because I have no one else to bounce it off. And there's not a heap of reviews out there. Like... Mm. If anyone's played it, let me know what you think of it, because I want to know if I'm crazy or not. But Genshin Impact, pretty cool, and I think it's put out by the same like publisher that did Cruel Bands Careers. I think it's the same sort of big Chinese publisher.
Is that Tencent?
MiHoYo, okay. I think. MiHoYo, but they are probably owned by Tencent.
Right. Because Tencent own half of fucking everything at this point, right? Like
They own half of Western publishing as well.
Incredible achievement for only having 10 cents!
Oh my God.
You motherfuckers!
Beautiful. Beautiful stuff.
If only you hadn't have said slap at the start of the show, you'd be up. You'd be in the positive for this episode.
I've broken even today, though.
Yep.
Time for daddy Clawing to come home from Vegas.
Thomas, have you been playing video games this week? And if so, which ones?
Yeah, I started playing last night a game called Paradise Killer. I put a couple of hours into it last night, and then I put a few more hours into it today. This is a game that is very unique. It's not really like anything I've ever played before in terms of its mechanics and also its aesthetic and storyline. It is an open world murder mystery detective game where you've played a little bit of this, Ben.
Yeah,
you might have to help me here describe what the fuck's going on with this story. So it's basically, you have to solve a murder, which, you know, for the sort of... For that kind of idea, like if you were into that kind of game, if you want to play a detective game, you know, someone making a game like this, they really could play it safe and just go, oh, you're in a city and, you know, someone's been murdered by a jealous lover or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
These guys have crafted this incredibly high concept world that has all this backstory and lore to it, which is, I think, really impressive, like the scope of it. And, what they've gone for. It's very comic booky. So it's basically set in a world of gods where there is an island that people live on that regenerates every 100 or so years.
Mm-hmm.
And citizens are kept there basically as slaves to worship these gods. And there's this one island they're about to destroy, and then all move on to the next attempt at paradise.
Yep.
And the council that sort of dictate all the laws of the island have been found murdered.
Mm-hmm.
The chief suspect is a guy who's been imprisoned for 10 years, is possessed by a demon, and so he's been locked up for 10 years. You play as a detective who was tricked by a god 3 million days ago or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and has been in exile since, and you are kind of brought back into this realm to help solve this murder that seems to be clear cut, but the person who's hired you to do this doesn't think that that's the case. So you are moving around in a 3D space. You're not really given, there's no hand holding, there's no guide. You basically just have to go around collecting evidence, interviewing people, and it doesn't really put any of it together for you. It completely leaves you to make the connections yourself and to sort of go, oh, okay, that actually seems weird. I should go back and talk to that other person. So yeah, there's a mix of characters, like the, some of them being the citizens, some of them being the gods, and yeah, it's all presented in this. I guess vaporwave is the shorthand for it.
Yeah,
this very pastel coloured island paradise, and then this yeah very like chill wavy kind of soundtrack that is playing underneath,
and
as
then
you do all these things.
The character designs are a little cyberpunk, right? They're a little sort of 70s, yeah. 80s cyberpunk style, as is the, so a lot of the like lore and terminology and stuff of the story feels a little cyberpunk too, because it's like all of those early books, they sort of mix in like voodoo and mysticism and stuff with the internet and like spirituality to make this sort of like, to make cyberspace into this like fantastical world. And a lot of that is here, like the demons and the spirits and the council and all that shit is mixing with, yeah, vaporwave 80s, 90s cyberpunk style. And the music is great. I like the illustrations. Something about this is not jiving with my taste though, which sounds crazy for what we've described. I think it feels a little forced or something. Like I like the writing of it, but yeah, there's something about the vibe is just not doing it for me, which is a shame because I think the gameplay for a detective game is top notch. Like the way it sets out the evidence, the suspects, the people you've talked to, the people you haven't, the way that the dialogue trees sort of unfold and it highlights certain keywords and things is great. It's really working for me as a mystery game. This is whatever the way my brain works to like knock through stuff and keep things, and like it's just laid out very well in the game. I'm really enjoying that. But something about it is sort of like half got me like a little at arm's length. I don't know what it is.
I kind of know what you mean. Like I played a bunch of it today. I am really hooked, and I really love the feeling of it's role playing as a detective, and really feeling like I am driving this. Like it's not going.
Yeah.
Oh, they just said that, and that contradicts that. So let's go back over there. Mm. It's purely like you are dictating everywhere that you go and everyone that you talk to and in what order and how you piece it together. And from what I've read about this game, that is like by the time you get to the end, you decide that you're at the end and you're accusing whoever you're accusing of having done it, you are completely doing that by yourself. There's no, like the game doesn't make any of those links for you. Like you have to have fully reached that conclusion based on the stuff that you've learned. So I'm loving that element of it. And there's constantly, you know, someone saying something and you go, oh, hang on, that kind of contradicts with what they said. So I'll go back and press them on that. I think the design of the 3D world that you move around is great. I really like that. It feels really believable. It feels really real and like it is this kind of sort of shitty apartments by the beach that are a bit run down where all the citizens live, and then the gods live next door in these kind of swanky, you know, high-rise suites. The character design is great. Like they're all hand-drawn and it's got this really great comic book style. But I think kind of what you're talking about is the way that all these different elements come together that are all really great is a little bit inelegant. Like
So
for example, when you find a suspect in the real world, when you find one of these people to go and talk to, the way they are presented in the environment is as just a 2D illustrated picture that kind of moves around almost Paper Mario style, although not as deliberate as that. Like a
standee, right? Like a cardboard cutout of an actor. Yeah.
Yeah, there's kind of all these, there's these little bits of it in the way that all these things kind of come together it feels rough to be too critical of it because it is an indie, but it's one of those little things that reminds you like, oh, this doesn't have the biggest budget, and maybe with a little more oomph behind it, all those things could have gelled together a bit more. But like some of the menus and the presentation, it just it just feels a little bit at odds with itself.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, I think a lot of the time it's pretty artfully done, and then some of the time it just looks like a bad 90s vaporwave Photoshop that would have been on Tumblr 13 years ago. Like,
which yeah, is, I think yeah. You're saying sometimes artful, sometimes it sounds like you're saying fartful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I literally had my microphone turned off because I knew I didn't know anything about this game, and I turned it back on to say that. Bye, everyone.
He's officially back. He's officially back after that one.
By back, do you mean backwards as in like in the negative, or do you mean you're in?
Yes, I mean he's turning around, showing us his bare bottom and saying, do what you will, boys.
I sent that joke out of it like Ace Ventura. Joke. It wasn't a joke. I meant it.
But yeah, I think that's the issue. It this game hovers between really interesting proof of concept and good indie game. And I think, like, yeah, I don't know what their expertise were, the people working on it, whether they were more, I mean, whoever wrote it and figured out the mystery and the interactions with the characters and all of that stuff is fantastic at their job. Like, that is really, really well done. The user interface is really well done mechanically as well. Like, I've played the Ace Attorney games in the past couple of years, and this, I mean, it's up there in terms of mechanically, like how you play a detective game. This is really, really good.
But
it's the superficial stuff, which it seems to be the issue.
That definitely sounds really appealing about it. Because like every detective game has that thing when you look back of it of like, oh, I guess I couldn't have really made any other decision with like I can't stop thinking of Ace Ventura. Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney. Ace Attorney, that's why. Or like L.A. Noire. You just kind of have to figure out the right thing. And if you don't do it yourself, you do it by losing. And then go, I guess it wasn't that.
The process is essentially the same, maybe in a different order, but it's always the same process.
Yeah. Exactly. And like you're just finding your way through a predetermined maze. But this sounds like a full forest that you've got to get to the other side of by figuring your own way out through it, which sounds really cool.
Yeah. And it's really satisfying. Like, you talk to someone and like I said, you get something that contradicts something or whatever it is and kind of going, all right, well, yeah, what am I going to do? Should I double back and press that person again? Or am I better off kind of exploring around a little bit more and talking to some of the suspects who I haven't, because I haven't interviewed everyone yet. So maybe I'm better to like get the spread of that. None of that stuff that we were just talking about is really it's in my head, but I'm kind of prepared to give it a bit of a pass because at the end of the day, it's an indie and they've really gone for something big. And a couple of the joins with the way those things intersect is a little crude at points, but I just think the design of the world is great and the music I'm really enjoying. So just cruising around in this nice island with this like fun music playing, and then the character design is gorgeous. It reminds me a bit of a comic that I think you've read all of, Ben. I've only read one volume of it. The what's it called? The Wicked and the Damned? Is that what it's called?
The Wicked and the Divine. Which is, a similar concept. Yeah, gods as people who have lives and sort of almost represent concepts as well. That's a good point. I didn't even think of that comic, but big crossover.
But creatively, like I said, if it, the idea of like a detective game that is open world and, you have the choice about, where you go and when you do things. Like I said, if they had have just set this in the real world, in whatever, New York or, a facsimile of that or whatever, where you just solve a straight up murder, like I think people would have been into that enough. But I think it's really impressive that they've gone for this, like that they've crafted this insane backstory and lore of this very, very detailed world and then dropped you into that, because it is, you're trying to get your head around this murder and solve it, but you're constantly also being fed bits about this like world as well that you're having to remember. You're like on top of remembering, oh, this is where this person said they were at the time that the murder happened. I also have to remember that mechanically this is how the world of this game works. Like this is who this person is in relation to the hierarchies of
exactly
the society that I'm buying into.
Yeah, well, their title is this and that means they do this, And so that means that the context of this is different, but it's like, yeah, which is good. It makes it more of a challenge. I'm not actually finding that too difficult either, weirdly.
Yeah.
It's just like you're starting to read this story or this, this novel, and you're taking it on bit by bit. And as you take it on, you just keep filing bits away of like, okay, that's significant, that's not. It's really well done. All of that stuff is really well paced, which is weird because it's like at your own pace.
Story-wise and everything, yeah. I'm hooked on it so far, and I want to solve the mystery. Like, I want to find more of the clues and everything. So would definitely recommend this. It's very unique. If kind of a detective game sounds up your alley, and if you like kind of comic-y style of storytelling, it's a little bit like Kentucky Route Zero in the sense of it's all, you could almost go, oh, it would make a great comic book. But then the fact that you are in control of it just does give it that little, you know what I mean? Like it's borrowing very heavily, and it's got this very like other type of experience to it, but it has to have been presented as a game. Like you couldn't just, you know, sit there and read it. It wouldn't have the same impact.
Yes.
So that's Paradise Killer. I reckon check it out if that all sounds up your alley.
Mm.
Sounds like you guys want to fuck that game.
Tommy wants to fuck it. I just want to make out a little.
Yeah.
It sounds really cool. I want to give that a go as well. I have also played another game, if you want to hear.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
if we've got time.
Talk. Sure.
I played a bit of Among Us with a few different groups over like the last couple of weeks, and it's fun. Every second motherfucker on Twitch is streaming it, and I probably will at some point too. I started doing a couple of Twitch streams to try it out on my own. Twitch.tv/AdamKnoxRealAndOfficial is the channel. I wrote it like that as a joke, kind of, because like imagine me being verified, but now it just seems up myself. But I haven't done any Among Us yet, but I kind of want to. But it's ideally it's a 10-player game.
Right.
And you go into a spaceship where you most of you are crewmates, and then there's anywhere between 1 and 3 imposters who are trying to go around and kill all of the crewmates and convince everyone it's not them. So it's a bluffing game, same as a bunch of different card games. I think Werewolf is a big one, and there's like a spy one. Yep. I've never really played any of them. But it's going and doing your little tasks on this ship if you're a crewmate. Somebody gets killed, somebody else finds the body, a meeting is called, everyone tries to figure out who it was. You're saying, where were you? What did you do? Da da da. It's very fun because it's like a social game, obviously, and just having a bit of that at the moment has been a bit of fun. But if you want to see it going, go watch some people play it on Twitch, because it is also a fun spectator game. Because, you know, you're along for the ride with whoever's streaming it, and you get to sort of make your own mind up and whatever. It's like a little Pluto mystery. But I've been enjoying doing that. I'm not good at Twitch yet. Like, I don't know how to do all the bits and pieces, but I'm figuring it out slowly, and I'm going to try and do more of that if anyone wants to go follow that channel that I just mentioned, which was twitch.tv/AdamKnoxRealAndOfficial. But I don't know if... I think I'll keep doing it, but it's hard to say. New things, not for me. But Among Us is kind of fun, and if you've got a group of people who you know to play it with, that is the best way. If you have 9 other friends who would want to play it with you, there's a free mobile app for it too. So you don't have to even buy it on Steam or whatever. You can just download that and watch an ad in between each round, and you're good. If anyone's got 10 friends or 9 friends, jump in with them and play some, make each other hate each other.
We might have to organize one through the Patreon or something.
Yeah. I was thinking of doing that for sure, because it would be fun. But I don't want to talk about it too much, because it's one of those things where like heaps of people have really, you know, gone for it. It's like a of the moment game very much.
Yeah,
so the best way to there's lots of places where you can find out more about it. They were working on an Among Us 2, which they cancelled, and are going to just put all their ideas in the one that exists now, which is kind of cool, just as an update.
So this has been out for a while, but then it just got big traction in the last like couple of months, or so, like quite recently. Is that what's happened?
Pretty much, yeah. I don't know who, probably some big streamer or whatever started doing it.
Yeah.
And it snowballed from there. And also, it's the perfect lockdown thing, you know? It's a very easy to understand game. Yeah. Even though I did play one game with like Ben and Greg and Edo from The Grub. And, you know, it's pretty easy to pick up, but Edo, you know, she took a while.
You heard it here first, folks. The hot goss on Ann Edmonds.
She dumb.
So
quote Adam Knox.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's cool. Enjoyable. Go follow some Twitch people or us on Twitch.
Yeah.
And you can watch some of it. And that's the best way to pick it up and then to play it yourselves, probably.
Speaking of games at the moment, Fall Guys really ironically fell off, right? A fucking cliff. I've seen so many people's...
Why is that ironic?
Because...
explain the irony of that to me.
My character in the Fall Guys... My gamer tag is Cliff. So...
Oh.
Yeah. So it's like... Yeah.
I forgot.
Initially, Cliff was falling off it. And now... It's falling off a cliff. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I get that shit, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Dude,
nice.
Lay down another one, brother. Let's go. Round two.
This is like Among Us, and one of us is an imposter pretending to be a comedian. I think I know who I am. But yeah, Fall Guys kind of like huge, huge popularity. They made their money off it. Like it was a huge, huge seller in like a 2-week period, it feels like. You know, it sold millions of copies literally through Steam because it was first a PS Plus game. And then it sort of faded away really, really rapidly.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like... I mean, I think we were vindicated in our opinions on that game, which were at the time poo-pooed by a lot of people. But now, who's got poo-poo on their face, huh?
Yeah.
Me.
Not us.
For $300 a pop.
I said up the top of the show that there was no news in the last week, but I've just realized I was mistaken in that because of course there was an announcement during the last week that there is an update to No Man's Sky.
Oh yeah.
Beloved game of at least one third of this podcast. Now this looks like a mammoth update that they have issued for this game, which they have done very impressively several times since launch. In the 3 years, 4 years since
four
the game
years,
came out?
Yeah, so 2016
continued
release.
To add very, very, very significant content updates, which you've updated us about as they've happened, Ben, including like some story stuff. There was a VR mode that they added.
Mm-hmm.
I think they addressed a few kind of criticisms and stuff that people had with it. They made some tweaks and improvements and whatnot.
It sounds like you don't know what they did.
I had no idea how to string a fucking sentence together.
Okay, Biden. They added...
Just talking into a webcam. I have no proof that you guys even really exist right now, to be completely honest.
I barely fucking do, man.
This could be a video that I'm interacting with.
Multiplayer was a huge one that they actually put in the game. We all three of us like scanned that patch release page the other day. It was like fucking like 50 things, screenshots of all of them. A lot of them are sort of like small quality of life things and visual upgrades and like little bits and pieces. They're all good. The menu system's way, way easier to navigate now. There's little fun things like you can change the color of your freighter. Like, there's too many things for me to list, any of the ones I list will just sound like fine. But there's like heaps.
And from
heaps
a lot of them seem to be like refinements to how the procedurally generated stuff is done, right?
Well,
I think they've
done
that a fair few times.
That's the stuff I was disappointed in initially, was that the flora or the fauna more specifically wasn't interesting in any of the planets I went to, and there wasn't really much interaction with any of the intelligent aliens that would be around, and it seems like that is a big part of what they've focused on since release of pumping up.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like this stuff that's sort of hardest to point at as you're playing and be like, oh, this is the, you know, because it's like, yeah, well, you'll wake up on a world and you'll look around and it's like, oh, yeah, this is like a world would look like if it was designed and was part of like, you know, Fallout or the Outer Worlds or something. It's like, oh, yeah, there's actual ravines and like normal looking mountains, not just like crazy looking shit that's clearly randomly generated. The way that they've made it look like it is real and crafted as opposed to procedurally generated but still being procedurally generated is really, really impressive. And the stuff I've noticed, so I played it last night. Before I was in VR because I had a session on Beat Saber and I stayed in VR for No Man's Sky and I took it off because it's fucking still makes me sick to play FPSs in VR mode. So I played it for like an hour, like barely any time at all because it's I've put 49 hours into my current save on No Man's Sky, and that's the second one I've done. So like I've already got everything. I've got a bunch of shit. I've got all these different ships. I've got bases. I've got all my resources. I'm not like a super super high end player, which is sort of the issue with that save of like, well, I've got $3 million, but you need $5 million to repaint your ship, sort of situation. But yeah, it's great. It looks great. It's got quests and things, and I'm trying to remember any of the cool stuff that I noticed last night. But basically, it appears to be the game that they were promising before launch. Like it's a good game now.
Hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
I got to go back in. I say this every time we talk about it, but I feel like it'll be a completely different experience to the one we had when all sat down and played it together before launch.
Yeah.
Or at launch.
Yeah.
Well, I want to do it in VR as well because I definitely can stomach the VR to some extent. So that definitely is appealing to me. See one of them big worm motherfuckers up close? Can you imagine?
I notice the lower quality of the PSVR headset in a game like No Man's Sky because it is not meant to look pixelated. Like, your Beat Sabers are done in a style specifically to fit the headsets, which are not as detailed as normal TVs. But I'm looking around sort of like, is this blurry or is it just pixelated or do I need to clean my glasses in No Man's Sky? So that also was a bit off-putting. When everything about it is running so smoothly as well, you're like, oh, I'm really running around fluidly through this pixelated world. So I've pre-ordered a Quest 2. Maybe I'll plug that into my PC and play it on there and it'll be a little nicer. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. If you get a free evening, give a fresh save of No Man's Sky a go.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Quick update for the listeners too. I know you guys know this already, but a couple of weeks ago I finished Persona 5.
Tommy, I already know this.
I've done it.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about this.
Yeah. Tell me something I don't know, mate.
Guys, you've got to remember, this isn't just a conversation that I'm having with the two of you. It's
Shut
a conversation
the fuck up.
I'm having with a few thousand people
Shut the
that
fuck
have their
up.
Little headphones in on their trainy-wainy on the way to
Shut
their
up.
Jobby Wob right now.
I don't want to hear it. This is how I talk to you normally.
Well, someone's being a bit of a Ryuji. That's the kind of reference I can make now because I've finished the game, guys.
Yes.
You finished Persona 5.
Feels great. It's an all-time top five for me.
Yeah.
Loved it. Loved it right until the very end. I didn't realize this. So, yeah, I played Royal, which is the one from start of this year that's got all the bonus content in it. Now, I did not realize this. I didn't play any of the bonus content because it gives you an extra semester of school at the very end of the game, which you do not get, you do not unlock unless you've done a set criteria throughout the rest of the game. So I finished it and was like, huh, those like confidants which I knew were new didn't really add anything to the game. And then I kind of Googled it and I found out like, oh no, you have to have reached maximum level with all of them and you get a time frame. There's like one guy, there's a therapist at the school who fucks off in November or something. So you have a limited amount of time to max him out. And if you have max with all of them, there's a new girl, there's a therapist, and Akechi is an actual confidant that you can go and see whenever you want in this. If you do all of them, then after the finale of what was the original game's finale, you get another semester that where all three of those characters play a more vital role. Because I got to the end and was like, they added fuck all. Like, you know, why would I add that?
In the base game, it just winds the calendar forward. And I'm assuming it just gave you that same animation, basically.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what it did for me. Which, worth pointing out to anyone, if you've played the original and you're going back in, because Jesus Christ, you would be fucking devastated if you'd put your 90 hours in and then got to the end and couldn't get that whole... It's a whole new dungeon. It's all new shit.
There are guides out there that people have made that are spoiler-free guides on how to sort of get everyone up to 10, because everyone does have an interesting storyline in that game, so it is maybe worth it to do that, because it's quite fun to figure out what you should be doing with your time and all of that, but that's annoying to have to miss out on that. And you didn't have an older save dungeon, or something you could go back to, or if you wanted to do, I guess not, because it would take fucking forever, because you have to do it over the course
I hadn't played it before, and essentially finishing it and finishing the story of the base game of it, I don't feel like I missed out on anything. And also reading up on it that extra semester, if you'd played it once through already, I'm sure it's fun to play, but it did feel like I loved the ending of it. And then this all kind of happens after the ending and is like a bit of a, there's also this other evil out there. Like I was, I put a lot of time into it. I was loving it all up until the end. Like I kind of didn't want it to be over, but also I was ready to, chuck it on the done pile. So I didn't feel like I missed out anything by not having an extra 15 or whatever hours it is of game. But what a fucking absolute hoot. And to go back to what you were saying before about high school in Japan, I did not know until I played Persona 5 and you're divvying up your week that students there go to school on a Saturday. That country sounds fucked. Not for me. What? No, thank you.
Long school weeks and short school skirts. This is all backwards.
Well, they also have something called Crunch School, where you go to school after school, which is also an issue in the games industry, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is. Yeah. It's an issue. It is a real issue with the world. Yeah. But there are plenty of those. We don't need to go into all of them, hey?
Yeah.
Are we just about ready to chuck this episode on the dung pile?
Let's wrap it up for another week after, once again, another 100-hour campaign this week. We'll be back next time. I played the demo of Crash Bandicoot 4, and enjoyed it, and that is out on Friday, so I'll be chatting about that next week.
Yes.
I loved it. Loved the demo a lot more than I expected to, so I'm very excited for that game now.
Star Wars Squadrons, I've pre-ordered, so we'll be doing Crash 4 and Star Wars Squadrons. Nox, do you have anything in the pipeline?
Nah, nothing specific.
All right.
I'll fucking figure something out. I'll come bursting in here with some bullshit you will love.
You go steal some underpants off a fucking clothesline and you can review that based on that can be your evolution from this week to next week.
Guys, I've changed my opinion once again.
All right, guys, thanks very much for listening. filthycasuals.com.au, you can find the links to our social media stuff. You can find our Patreon. You can support the show and get a bonus episode every week. You can also get our premium Bandcamp episodes that are a lot of fun. You can find our video series, all of that stuff and more. filthycasuals.com.au. We'll see you next time, and as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
where did my clothes go?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.